This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning and welcome back to BFM 89.9. I'm Khoo Soo Chong with Philip C and Wong Xiao Ning.
You forget our names.
For fair. China last week released a five-year blueprint calling for greater regulation of vast parts of the economy, providing a sweeping framework for the broader crackdown on the key industries that has left investors reeling. That document, jointly issued by the State Council and the Communist Party's Central Committee, said authorities would actively work on legislation in areas including national security, technology and monopolies.
It also said that law enforcement will be strengthened in sectors ranging from food and drugs to big data and artificial intelligence. This follows the recent clampdown on industries ranging from internet platforms and Bitcoin to ride-hailing giant Didi Global and tutoring. The furious pace of these new rules and regulations and the blunt and sometimes unpredictable force with which they are being implemented have roiled companies and markets. So now with this blueprint released, what kind of impact will it have on the world's second largest economy and how will it affect other countries?
So to break this down, we have on the line with us now Gary Young, the Asia-Pacific economist for the French investment bank Natixis, talking to us from Hong Kong. Now, Gary, why is China releasing such a framework now? What's the intention of it since it signals more control?
Good morning, everyone. Yes, this is definitely, one of the game changer in the business environment in China nowadays. And indeed, the idea may not be totally new because I think it's basically a follow-up to the long-standing thought of our Chinese President Xi Jinping on building this law-based society. However, what is new is really this more specific time frame of the five-year plan and then also this long-term goal by 2035 with more details on the objectives. So, I think the intention basically can be summarized into two different angles. First, obviously, the Chinese government is trying to exert more control and redistribute the resources in different industries. And the aim is really to achieve the policy goals, such as reducing the living cost to boost birth rate. As we have all know, the Chinese government has basically given up its two-child policy before. And second, it is also about restricting this power of the tech firms, which are obviously they hold a large amount of big data, which are often perceived as a national security issue.
But what would the consequences be, especially if we're talking about the second largest economy that has nurtured these global tech companies?
I think within China itself, the tighter regulations basically mean that the potential room for revenue growth may be restrained a little bit. The current policy direction to ask firms basically, for example, to bear more tax responsibility or to reduce some of the originally business model will basically also mean a drag on profit. And of course, if you have this drag on profit, another implication is also on private investment. In the past, of course, due to the environment in China, state support is always essential for private firms to operate. However, one of the sectors that generally have a lesser requirement is really on the internet firms. And it is really the foundation for them to actually grow at their own pace. And this has actually spurred innovation in China. So this uncertainty actually makes us to actually think that in the future, maybe this will be a drag on investment growth as well.
I mean, extending to your point about private investment and investments, are you seeing foreign investors now cutting their investments into China and Hong Kong and even exiting?
I think for foreign investor, the trend is definitely going to bring more challenges to the investment in China. And of course, the same can also be said for private Chinese firms. Otherwise, we would not have seen such a big market sell-off, at least in the equities, and how investors has become extremely sensitive to any news published by the Chinese state media. But I do think the problem can be a look into two different directions as well. First is that the problem is that some of the originally quite lucrative industries with huge profit generation ability nowadays suddenly become almost worthless. And the red line was obvious in the past, but this new evolving situation also means that investors are basically running away from a moving target because you are simply not sure about what will be targeted next. And therefore, we have indeed seen some outflow in portfolio investments such as equities. And for direct investment, which is slightly more longer term, I do think investors tend to adopt a wait-and-see approach first. first. For example, we have seen a SoftBank, a large Japanese investors in Chinese tech industry. They have now halted any future investment plan in China.
Now, Gary, who outside of China stands to benefit from these blueprint release? And conversely, who loses?
And of course, with more unpredictable policy risks in China, it also means that for other markets, it's relatively predictable. And the Chinese tech sector has so far been in the storm eye, and capital may indeed flow to ASEAN for opportunities if they are looking for high growth opportunities in Asia, even though, of course, the size may not be totally comparable. And if we move a little bit further, other tech giants around the world may also find themselves in a more comfortable situation, which basically means less competition from Chinese peers if this crackdown actually continues. Because after all, if we look at the historical performance, the revenue from domestic market for Chinese firms has actually been a very strong support for them to expand overseas. So now this advantage may actually shrink a little bit. And of course, these are really the two winners. If we need to think a bit further about who will lose, I do think that the financial sector in the US may actually face fewer business opportunities, and investors in the targeted sector may need to reevaluate the growth of the original investment. For example, if we look into one of the sector in the storm eye recently, which is the education and tech sector, it is almost impossible for this private equity investors who actually are invested into kindergartens or tutoring business in China to exit now, because they are now being told that they should be non-profit organizations.
And very quickly, Gary, who or what do you think are the other sectors may come under scrutiny?
I think from a sectoral point of view, data-related sectors will definitely are more likely to be hit one by one, especially those related to digital economy and internet finance. But however, other sectors related to livelihood, for example, food and healthcare, can definitely be the next targets.
All right, Gary, thank you so much for your time. That was Gary Young, the Asia-Pacific economist at the French investment bank Natixis, talking to us from Hong Kong. Now, I've been trying to look at some of this stuff, right, and specifically in the education and internet sectors, Tel Education, which has lost 90% of its value, right? What a lot of people don't realize is that the Chinese government is trying to equalize the whole country in its own, you know, quaint way, right, by just being
quaint
very, very...
Quaint is not a word I would associate with China.
Yeah, that's polite.
I do think that China does view data as very critical now. Yeah. And because information is knowledge and power, this is where I think they've come to roost, that it's a private sector just has too much data.
Correct.
And need to control it.
But it might have some positive ramifications for the very long term.
Yeah, it might be good for ASEAN, and yeah, it's probably going to be good for any other tech company, because you're going to basically reallocate your resources. Like economists say, China is about to become the policy laboratory in terms of changing their direction.
Yeah, or rather non-US policy. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.